preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
Well, there is real confusion in John chapter 7 about Jesus Christ, and we have been unpacking that this week, looking at the mass confusion that the people had built into their minds, a Jesus of their own imagination, and pushed that back upon the real one. And that is an extremely dangerous problem that has happened at large in the Church of Jesus Christ today, where our conceptions, our views of Jesus are in direct conflict with the Jesus that is revealed to us in the Scriptures, and it leaves people in chaos. That's exactly what's happened here in John chapter 7, where the people have heard Jesus' teachings. They have heard him speak with authority. They have heard him confront and talk in ways that they had never heard anyone else speak. And they say very clearly, he speaks boldly and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know that this is truly the Christ? However, we know where this man is from, but when the Christ comes, no one knows where he's from. So our conception of what we know about Jesus doesn't fit this one. Therefore, he can't be the real Christ. In verse 28, we looked at yesterday, then Jesus cried out. He screamed out as he taught in the temple. And we looked at a very interesting nuance here in the text. Many of the English translations do not capture this. Many of them read, "You both know me and know where I'm from," but that's not really what's being said. He's using irony here. He's not saying that they know him, because he says just in the next verse, they don't know the Father, and they don't know him, he says elsewhere. Whoever does not know the Father does not know the Son. It's hard for us to think of Jesus speaking this way, but this is why we study the Word. Jesus is saying it this way. So you know me and you know where I'm from? Is that what you think? He's mocking them for creating in their minds a Jesus that is wrong. I mean, this is Psalm 2. He who is in the heavens shall laugh. So this is what you think? But I've not come of myself. He who sent me is true, whom you do not know. But I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me. So he cries out against their unbelief, and then makes the judgment, you do not know God. So he has confronted this, and he has confronted their refusal of him, their refusal to hear him, their refusal to believe in him, and that has provoked response. At this point, by the end, they are ready to take him. That is verse 30 of John 7. Numerous times they wanted to put him to death early, but remember, his hour had not yet come. It was all determined by the Father, the time when he would go to the cross. Well, what happens now in verse 32 is that our friends the Pharisees step in. And the officers get together and they hear the crowds discussing the possibility that this might be the Messiah. So they send officers to take him. What does Jesus say in verse 33? Then Jesus said to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. This may not seem very strong to our ears, but let me give you a sense of it. Jesus has come to give life. They are furiously opposing it. They not only reject, but they furiously oppose grace, and they want to put an end to his life now. Jesus says something like this, your window of grace is real short. In fact, it's actually given by a fixed time by my Father. Your efforts to destroy me are going to be totally unsuccessful until the hour the Father has appointed it. Try to kill me as much as you please. I am going at the appointed hour, and nothing will prevent me from being received by my Father into glory. It's a really moving statement. I believe it really shows the character of our Lord. He's teaching about the window of grace, the time of grace, the day of grace. And how do they respond to this? I believe they begin to ridicule him. Then the Jews said among themselves, "Where does he intend to go that we shall not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks?" They're mocking him. Is he going to go to the dispersion, to the Jews who are dispersed among the Greeks? Is he going to go across the sea and leave us? What a mockery. And you know, it was the very thing that would happen, because Israel would not receive her Messiah. In the midst of this, dear listener, I believe we come to maybe the worst statement of judgment on the pages of Scripture given. It's referenced twice by Jesus and then by the Jews here. This is verse 34 and 36. He says, "You will seek me and not find me. And where I am, you cannot come." Explain that. You ever seen a sermon title with a title of "Seeking and Not Finding"? Or how about this one? "Banned from heaven." Here is what he just said to the Jews. "You have refused me, and I have come as a savior. And this window to receive me is short. I'm going to heaven. And the judgment for your unbelief is that you are going to continue to seek me. I will have already come. I will have already been exalted. And you as a people will continue to look for your Messiah." And he says in chapter 8, "You will die in your sins, having no access to heaven." Why is Jesus Christ telling us about these people, dear listener, that lived so long ago, these Jews? Paul said in the book of Corinthians that all these things are written as examples for us, so that we would learn and not do the same thing to Jesus Christ. What's the message? What do we learn from these people who were destroyed? Receive Jesus Christ now. No more delay. That's our message. The window of grace is now, and there are so many people probably tuning in today who are playing fast and loose with Jesus. They don't take his church seriously. They won't join themselves to his body. They won't be a part of the kingdom. They are just floating. They are just drifting. They don't take the calls to come seriously now, and yet they'll listen. They'll listen to the radio. They'll listen to the messages. They like what they hear. They're impacted by what they hear, and yet they don't come. Boy, I don't know how to stress this any stronger. They don't come. They don't believe. They don't really follow. They don't take the call seriously. Leave all and come to him. People say, "Well, I don't have to be a part of a church to love Jesus. I just love Jesus." And I respond by that and say, how can you love Jesus and not love the bride he died for? How can you tell me you love Jesus and not give yourself upon the sacrifice and service of each other's faith? That takes place in the church. You can tell me you love Jesus until you're blue in the face, but it's going to evidence itself as you being a living, vital member of his church, serving one another, giving your life, sitting yourself under the means of grace, hearing the messages. That's what Jesus said. That's what the scriptures teach. So this is where Jesus turns now. In verse 37, he stands and what does he say? All these Jews are just not coming. And Jesus has laid before them the window of grace, the time short. What does he say in verse 37? On the last day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." This is so profound, so simple. The gospel announcement, so beautifully stated. The call, come. Ponder this for a minute. If anyone thirsts, one of the most painful things one could ever face in life, dear listener, is to die of thirst. There was a study a few years ago on thirst, and one of the most graphic studies ever recorded by the records of those dying of it. Saliva, let me quote this, saliva becomes thick and foul tasting. The tongue clings irritatingly to the teeth and the roof of the mouth. A lump forms in the throat. Severe pain is felt in the head and neck. The face feels full due to the shrinking of the skin. Hearing is affected, and many people begin to hallucinate. Then come the agonies of the mouth that has ceased to generate saliva. The tongue hardens into a senseless weight. Speech becomes impossible. Next comes the blood sweats phase, involving a progressive mummification of the initially living body. The tongue swells into such proportions that it squeezes past the jaws. The eyelids crack and the eyeballs begin to weep tears of blood. The throat is so swollen that breathing becomes difficult, creating an incongruous yet terrifying sense of drowning. Finally, there's living death. You chill to hear that? I do. That's nothing compared to spiritual thirst, where you are dying spiritually and have died spiritually and have the impending prospect of eternal death. Jesus is standing up to all these people dying, and he's saying, if anyone thirsts. Why would he say that? He means if deep within your heart, you know your despair and poverty, you know your emptiness, you're going through life empty and sad, and your condition pains you, so that you know the despair because of a deep conviction of your sin and your past and all the things you've done, and you know the guilt, you know the pain. What's he saying? I'm a relief for you. I will quench that despair deep within your heart. Nothing else can do it. Your works will never be enough. Your gods of stone will never speak. Your empty solutions, your other remedies, nothing. Jesus is saying, I alone can and will satisfy that kind of thirst that is far worse than physical thirst. That's the Christian life. We come to that fountain, and Jesus Christ fills us with living water, the kind of water that bursts out from our hearts into eternal life. This is what Jesus is doing. The gospel message is so simple. This call to come and drink Jesus' water is a call to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and believing to have life in his name. Do you have that life? Are you playing fast and loose with Jesus, not believing? Come. Come to the waters. Drink of the water of life freely that Jesus Christ gives to all who believe in him. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We would love to have you join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. LindenURC.com is the website. All sorts of resources there for you, including these broadcasts. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.